Welcome back to the Finsiders. I'm Raul Stryker Jr., joined by Sam Madison, OJ McDuffie, and of course, Tristan Jones holding down the chat room. And we now have the pleasure to be joined by Albert Breer, NFL Network reporter, and he's out there really busy at the 2014 NFL Combine. So, Albert, thanks for taking a few minutes of your busy Friday afternoon to spend with us.
Hey, Raul. Thanks for having me.
Well, obviously, the 2014 offseason is well into gear. We have the NFL Scouting Combine, the draft coming up, free agency. What do you see as the priorities for Dennis Hickey and for Joe Philbin this offseason?
Well, they're certainly in a win-now situation based on Joe Philbin's contract and based on how Dennis Hickey came in and based on everything we saw in the Wells report. So I think all the decisions that they make here over the next couple of months could be colored by their own job security. And you would think the owner, Steve Ross, wants to move forward quickly with the amount of money that he invested last year, guys like Mike Wallace and Danelle Ellerby and Philip Wheeler. And so I wouldn't be surprised, based on the amount of salary cap room that they have, if they make another splash. And the most obvious place where they would move now has to be the offensive line. Of course, there's uncertainty beyond just Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin. You think John Jerry's gone. Who knows what's going to happen with Mike Pouncey, if the league's going to discipline him. Could wind up being a lengthy suspension for him. So I think you start on the offensive line and then you work your way out. It's a team that really, you do have a fair amount of guys that are right there in their prime, 25, 26, 27 years old. But, man, I think we found out last year what deficiencies in the offensive line can do to a team. I think it's certainly an area the Dolphins have to look at right away. Maybe they go back and, you know, go and look at bringing in a guy like a Brandon Albert, who they made a run at last year.
Indeed, Brandon Albert is expected to be a big target this offseason. There's also a few others out there, Eugene Monroe. Who else could be a big target for the Dolphins this offseason?
Well, I mean, you can't make a huge free agent splash at every single line position. You know, it just doesn't work economically that way. Generally, teams will sink a lot of money into their left tackle, so maybe that's where they make the splash. They've obviously got an investment in their center, Mike Pouncey. You know, I'm sure they'd like some clarity on his situation sooner rather than later. You know, the thing about the guard positions is generally guys who get drafted, you can plug and play those guys pretty quickly coming out of college. So my guess is that you see the guard positions taken care of through the draft. I keep an eye on the left tackle market. The interesting dynamic there, though, is that the draft is so deep in the tackle position that you could actually wind up with two pretty good tackles just because of the way everything sets up here. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out because obviously they've got a lot of questions up front.
A lot of questions for sure, but as you said, a deep draft class and free agency coming up, so the Dolphins should get some answers to their questions. But turning the page a little bit to defense, your partner Ian Rappaport reported today via tweet that the Dolphins aren't too sure if they're going to place the franchise tag on Brent Grimes. What do you see happening with the Miami Dolphins with Brent Grimes? What are the possibilities of them retaining him, whether it be that way or otherwise?
Well, the franchise tag is, I think you look at the franchise tag and it's expensive at that position, over $11 million. You can do that, and I think you give yourself the peace of mind knowing that you're going to have the player back, but is that the smart thing to do? The situation this year might be lining up a little bit like the situation last year where you had Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie and Sean Smith and Aqib Talib all out there at the same time. You could be looking at, if you do decide to franchise him, putting yourself in a corner financially where maybe you don't have to. Last year, obviously, because the market was flooded with good players, you know, that market wound up coming up $5.5-6 million. With Werner and now a couple of the guys that were out there last year, guys like Talib and Rodgers-Cromartie back out on the market. It could be one of those, again, where supply outweighs demand. And Grimes might not have the value on the open market. So if you want to roll the dice, you might be able to bring him back a little bit cheaper than just slapping the franchise tag on.
We're talking with NFL reporter Albert Breer. In addition to Grimes, the Miami Dolphins have two key figures on their defense, Paul Soliai, Randy Starks, that are also free agents. What do you see with the free agent market with respect to defensive tackles and these guys in particular?
Well, you know, and I think that's an interesting point because if you look at it, and I think Soliai and Starks will have a market. I think what's interesting about it is if you look at the way the Seattle Seahawks won, it's with guys who can play different positions on the line. Starks can do some of that. And it's with big space eaters, guys like Brandon Mebane and Red Bryant. And obviously, Paul Soliai fits into that category. The Seahawks really kind of drew that blueprint where they had a good defensive line to begin with, and then they went out and they supplemented. They brought in Cliff Averill. They brought in Michael Bennett because they had some of that financial flexibility because they're not paying their quarterback a lot of money. You know, and so I think there are going to be teams out there that are already okay on the defensive line that are going to make runs at big-name defensive linemen. I think for the defensive linemen this year, based on what Seattle did, based on being a copycat league, I think that you could have a robust market out there for defensive linemen, teams trying to line up the way that Seattle did last year.
Very interesting. Finally, Albert, what are your thoughts on this draft class that you're seeing this weekend in the combine over in Indy?
Well, I'll tell you this. I mean, I've talked to a couple general managers who told me that about 10 to 12 players in this year's draft are better than any player in last year's draft. It's pretty incredible when you consider, you know, so you consider that kind of depth, you know, being able to go 10, 11, 12 picks into the draft, and guys who would have gone first overall in 2013. And there's a domino effect there, too. You're going to see guys who in other years would be top 10 picks down in the 20s. And so I think for teams in the first round, you know, you're going to have some tough decisions for the quarterback needy teams now, where they're going to have to decide, do we go and try to get our franchise quarterback? Because if we do, it could be a situation like 2011 where teams were looking at, do we draft J.J. Watt, do we draft A.J. Green, or do we draft a quarterback like Andy Dalton or a Blaine Gabbert or, you know, Jake Locker? You know, I think you're looking at one of those situations where the position players are going to be so good. You've got plenty of depth, and I think that's at multiple positions. So, you know, I think for teams that are at the bottom of the first round, it's almost, you know, the depth of the class really kind of makes it so it's, you're in a position where it's going to feel like you have a top 10 pick. Lots and lots of depth.
Albert, thanks for spending a few minutes with us on a busy Friday evening over there at the Combine.
All right, thank you.